another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 292. It's Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. Everyone, welcome back to the Boop Show. I'm Scott with Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, you? Scott. How are you?
Good. I said your last name like four times, and mine not even once. Take that,
Johnson.
We're back, and we're gonna do. Oh, Swiss Chalet Sauce in the chat just said the nicest thing. I love this show / podcast. Please don't stop it. I wasn't
Swiss
planning
Chalet
on stopping
sauce.
It.
We wouldn't even think about it.
Were you planning on stopping it? I wasn't planning on it, unless Brian was. So
I'm not planning on stopping, but I tell you what should do. Write that nice little review on iTunes, podcast, whatever the crap they call it now,
yeah.
And Spotify and everything else. That helps us get up in the ratings.
It does, especially even if you go, I learned this recently and lately, helping Justin Robert Young with one of his projects, just kind of getting the word out today. One of the things that really matters is even if you don't use Apple Podcasts, or even if you hate it, even if you're on Android, even if you're on Apple, whatever, get the Apple Podcasts app. It's on both. Sub to the show on there. Mm-hmm. And then you don't even have to download an episode. Just let it sit.
Yeah,
algorithm just kicks in, and we get huge boost from that. So we'd really like it if you did that. Okay.
We get a huge hooch.
We get a big hooch, and nobody wants a big hooch but you. Oh, hey, look at this. We got some news all ready to get to. Before we jump into that, though, real quick, I hope everyone enjoyed the live E3 coverage. I wish there was a way Brian and I could have coordinated time to be there together, but it was always during work hours, and you work in the daytime, and I had other stuff, and it just never worked. So me and you were never able to hook it up. But me and the core guys, John and Bo, we were able to do some combination of two to three of us throughout the week for most of it. The only one we really missed that was major was Nintendo's today because TMS was going on during that, so had other show commitments. Anyway, all of those live commentary tracks are on the core feed as well as the core podcast feed as well as the Frog Pants Mega feed, which just has everything in it. And there are no videos this year because things got weird with DMCA takedown notices and strange business. Even Nintendo today said the strangest thing ever, which was, we don't mind if you creators do reaction videos, but we don't want any video or audio included. What are you even doing, Grandpa Company, who doesn't know anything about nothing? Why do you want free publicity? What's wrong with you people? Anyway, as a result, I wanted to kind of stay away from any of that legal wrangling, so no YouTube archives and the VODs are deleted. Actually, Twitch recommended that. They said, when you're done with your stuff, we want you to do it. But when you're done, maybe delete it so we don't have to be part of the, throwing a DMCA at you or whatever, which I appreciated. Yeah. It's all weird. I don't get it. I don't understand it. This is like the best way to get your information out to people right now in this day and age. This is what kids care about. This is what people check out. Influencers, strippers, streamers.
That's right. Join our OnlyFans page.
My OnlyFans page is hopping, man. You should go check it out, Brian.
Fans subscribe. Only. Yeah, right.
Subscribe today. So that's the thing there. Go read. But all the podcasts are fine. Go check those out. If they were ever to be targeted, they'd have to really dig down in the sand to find it. So good luck to them. All right. I hate the word influencer. I apologize for saying it. I'll never use it again.
I do hate that word, but it's kind of...
people use it.
Sometimes, yeah, it's kind of accurate though, right? I mean...
it is, but it's one of those... it's an industry phrase that I could do without. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, I could do without it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
I prefer trusted friend over influencer.
We are... Hey, Brian and I are your trusted friends in video games. But the best part of E3 for me was the massive amounts of indies that are coming, and they all look great and are probably the unsung heroes of this year's events, because everything indie looked awesome to me and everything AAA looked okay, looked fine.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The Halo's looking good. I think the biggest AAA surprise for me was Forza Horizon Dawn, or Horizon Dawn, Forza Horizon 5.
I would love to play Forza Horizon Dawn.
I would too.
Dang it!
Get Aloy behind the wheel, you'd be all set. But no, that game's coming out like this fall, and it looked insane. That game looks insanely realistic. I don't know what they did, but I love the Horizon series, so I'm stoked about that. But beyond that, I'm kind of across the board, and no Sony this year, so we don't know what they're cooking. The thing I was most into were these indies, man.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
Yeah. Tons of
now,
them.
Now, we'll know what Sony's cooking shortly because they're supposed to do their own little, like, direct here in the next couple of weeks, right? And their plan,
I don't know when the time is. Is it that soon? Because I didn't know they were. My understanding was they just haven't said anything, but maybe there's something coming up.
Yeah. I don't think there's any official statements, but they implied soon. Much soonness.
Well, I hope they hurry up. There was a side-scrolling, maybe we'll get to it when we talk about the rest of these Guerrilla Initiative things, but there was a side-scrolling dystopic-looking, cyberpunky-looking thing. Pixels mixed with 2D, 3D, fluid animation. I mean, it blew my mind. I immediately went, well, that I'm playing. Whatever this is, I'm playing this. And I don't even remember which freaking conference it was in, but it was so rad.
I don't think there's ever been this many games that has been coming at me so quickly. I mean, indie games has really turned it upside down because they're getting such traction now.
Yeah.
I am just inundated with a number of games that are coming. And maybe it's because I'm watching so close now. I don't know.
And not even like, you know, oh, a couple of mentions here and there, or their own show, or the PC gaming show. We're talking like prime time in the middle of the Microsoft Bethesda event, like massive exposure to these indies.
Right.
Where it used to be like, ooh, get a little glimpse of Cuphead, or ooh, I may have saw a little Limbo in there. And like it was old, that old way is gone. Mm-hmm. Indies are here to stay, baby. So the Boop Show here and ready, like a Gallagher concert. We got a tarp out. We're ready to take any watermelon that comes our way. We're good. It's going to be great.
You can Google that.
Yes. Also,
this guy's talking about
the Wraith in the chat reminds me, and I would like to remind everyone, if you haven't seen the Outer Worlds trailer or Outer Worlds 2 trailer that hit with a Microsoft event, it's maybe the greatest trailer of all E3. And you'll know why when you watch it. It is something else, and I won't give you any hints. I'm not even going to tell you why. Just have to go find out for yourself why those guys have their finger on the wiener of the industry. It was real good.
Free Rangers mentions weirdly stoked for the flight simulator on the Xbox, which is great because I don't know if you've seen the new crazy flight simulator control stick.
Oh yeah, they got coming out. That was nuts.
That thing is amazing.
It was also $400. That thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you would expect that. I mean, it's got like three or four throttle knobs on the side. I don't know how you fly things, but yeah, it's got like a bunch of shifters and everything. It looks insane.
Yeah, it looks crazy good. And, you know, even if you're not into that stuff, but I hope, okay, I haven't played the flight simulator game that's currently on Game Pass on PC.
Right.
The one coming to Game Pass, one coming to Xbox soon. But I assume there's a simplified mode in there where I don't need to be Mr. Check all your engines and the lights right and check your altimeters and your business natch. I don't want any of that. I just want to get a controller, fly that effing thing around kind of arcade style and see things. I want to go see stuff like, oh, look, the Great Pyramids. And now I'm flying over my grandma's house or whatever. I want to do that.
Your grandma's house?
Yeah.
Got the most lackluster dreams of flight I have ever heard from an individual.
Well, I guess I haven't asked, but does that game feature any just normal land, like, you know, suburbs of California or, you know?
Right. I would assume so. I mean, isn't that how those games are supposed to be? You know, like super detailed and accurate.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And I'm just saying it's a missed opportunity if there's not like a dumb guy control scheme in there. It needs to just let me, you know, dual stick it and go and not, oh, it maps the whole globe. That's awesome. So I can't wait. I'm actually very excited about that because I didn't pull the trigger on PC because traditionally a flight sim is not interesting to me. But we now live in the time of like photo perfect realism. at 60 frames plus. I mean, why wouldn't we want to see this?
Yeah.
So
what a different way to, you know, just to consume games for a minute. I mean, just fly in a sim. $350 Velocity One flight system. Yeah. Logitech. Yeah. That's what's coming about.
Oh, I didn't know it was Logitech PC doing that. That's cool. I thought that was somebody else. That's cool.
It has 180 degree yoke handle with rear rudder controls for easy access. And that's right. Oh, modular throttle quadrant with an integrated trim wheel. I don't need this.
No,
but I want it.
But you want it. You just don't need it.
That's right. It's got some hat switches.
Baylil in the chat says it's on Game Pass PC, Scott. No, I know. I said earlier I skipped it because I don't know why I did. Mainly because they've now cut the size of that thing in half, so now would be a better time to get it. But also, I don't know. Again, flight sims, they don't grab me, but seeing that demo at the thing that looked real cool. Am I going to run out and buy a stick like the one Brian's describing? No. No. No.
What are you going to do? You going to use your little controller there, Scott?
Yeah.
To fly over grandma's house and crash into her house like a Donnie Darko style, drop an engine on her head?
Yes. I mean, they're adding a Top Gun mode to it, whatever that even means. I mean, they got to let me shoot shit, right? They're going to let me shoot something.
Right, right.
There's a MiG on my left. Pew, pew, pew. All right.
Yes, oh, man. Horizon. Did you also see the Recon controller they got going on, too, for the Xbox Series?
No. What? Wait,
where? Recon controller. Ooh, it looks cool. It's a wired model controller. You have to take a look at all that.
Well, I like wired. I'm a big wired fan. Yeah,
I'll send you a link in the Discord. It looks pretty sweet.
All right. Well, we'll take a look at that. All right. Let's get into these stories here. Tunic is still happening. And I know this because they showed off a bunch of Tunic in one of the E3 conferences. I think it was in the
The indie part because they had indie section, right?
It was that, but it wasn't that. They showed it off in the Summer Games Fest thing, the Jeff Keighley thing that kicked everything off last week.
Oh, that's right.
That's what it was. Anyway, so this Tunic thing is like a little fox. It's sort of Zelda-like inspired adventure game starring a fox. It resurfaced in this trailer. They showed more gameplay. Things have changed a little bit. I thought they'd given up on this. They announced Tunic like 5 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah.
And I even played a small demo of it at when I went to Ohio, the Columbus, forgot the name of the event, but the one I got invited to. And I did a panel with one half of the married couple who are making that game. And she was there, and we were talking about parenting. That. Yeah, that whole thing of parenting and working at home and all that. And they had me do that with her. Anyway, is the Tunic demo on there now on the Xbox?
Oh, there is part of the next article, which we'll talk about here in a minute. It is. I've actually downloaded the demo before the show.
Brian, you're living your best life now that all demos are all back, baby. They're back.
Yeah, demos are huge right now. I thought demos were gone.
I did too.
All I saw was prologues.
Yep.
I'm like, that's just a taste.
Yeah.
But now I'm seeing demos, 40 free Xbox indie game demos on the Xbox.
Have you seen Steam lately? It's just rife with demos everywhere now.
Yeah.
They're all over the freaking place, which is great.
Time.
And it's a ton of gameplay, and it's a great time to be a demo player. So anyway, I'll be checking that out. The gameplay demo will probably show off more. But in the video, you know, they showed some combat and some stuff. I don't love how the RT and LT icons were above all the creatures' heads all the time. I don't know why that button.
Oh,
just a little too much interface in the way.
It breaks that submersion, that immersion, right?
Yeah. But or submersion. That's fine.
Submersion, yeah.
Get in there.
Diversion.
Speaking of which, Brian brought it up. 40 free Xbox game demos now playable. 40. That's a freaking lot. Oh, by the way, I was going to show the chat just a little Tunic here. This may have actually been older video, but
Look at my Tunic.
Yeah, look at my Tunic. It's you're uncut. You're uncut Tunic.
You're uncut Tunic.
See, look at him running through those little trees, little fox man. Just look at me. I'm running. I'm gonna kill.
Look at the voxels on that guy.
Yeah, the voxels are good. I'm a big voxels fan. You bring the voxels, I'm there for you. Look at that. A little Zelda business.
What great lighting, too.
Yeah.
Just really just brings it to life.
Super into that. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Let's get back to these demos. This year's indie festivities come on the heels of the incredible showing by Microsoft during the Xbox Bethesda Game Showcase, says Screen Rant. That's their opinion, not mine, although I thought it was a pretty good show. The E3 2021 press conference unveiled several projects from Xbox first-party studios and third-party partners. Obviously, big things like Starfield were shown off and all of that.
Yeah.
But a slew of Xbox indie titles are taking center stage, thanks to the Summer Game Fest and other stuff. And according to, let's see, according to this post. Yeah. So is this today? Those demos are playable right this frickin' second, like now?
Starting June the 15th through June the 21st are demos available for indie games on the Xbox. The original announcement was made on ID at Xbox and their little news thing. But it was just a whole list. And I didn't want to post that in the thing because there's a lot of games. That's 40 freaking games.
It's a lot,
and
dude.
Tunic was one of those games.
Oh, that's good to hear. So listen to some of these others. You got the turn-based battle game Battle Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I used to call my wife. It's our little pet name. Old Battle Cakes.
Good old Battle Cakes.
Yep. First-person puzzle adventure Faraday Protocol. Story-driven action adventure like the Tale of Bistoon?
Bistoon.
Yeah, maybe Bistoon. Lawn mowing simulator. I'm in. I'm all in.
I've actually played a couple of minutes of that before, I believe.
Oh, I'm going to play that so hard. What a dumb idea. Turn-based RPG Echo Generation. I'm very interested in that. And melee combat game Paint the Town Red, which looked a lot like... I'm thinking of something else. Something in there looked like Splatoon, and I can't remember what it was. Something Splatoon-ish.
Probably something like Splatoon.
Anyway, a whole bunch of those games. I got to go see if maybe that side-scrolling, the one I was telling
you about. It probably is, because a lot of the things we're going to talk about in the Guerrilla Collective Part 2, which we talked about Part 1 last week, is on these demos here.
Well, good. In the future, you may start seeing some Disney demos, because Disney is now open to indie game developers using its properties. They're loosening their licensing standards.
Loosening licensing.
Lucy Licensing and her adventures. During Xbox's E3 showcase, we learned that Disney has given its blessing for its Pirates of the Caribbean IP to be used in Sea of Thieves. We saw that little trailer. That kind of annoyed me, but it's a good sign that they're kind of not being so controlling. Like, let this stuff out a little bit. Let games be made that are smaller. Let us guest star in things. You'll probably start seeing Disney characters in Fortnite, if I had to guess. Things like that. But anyway.
Absolutely going
to
see stuff in Fortnite. I mean, this is already kind of happening somewhat in the mobile game space. If you want to see a bunch of indie app developers and match three Disney games, you can. There's plenty.
Yeah.
There's plenty of Disney match three Disney games that are on the mobile stores already. So I'm down with this. What's your craziest idea for like a crossover, like maybe a Left 4 Dead 2 kind of game with with Mickey Mouse and Goofy like trying to fight some zombies or something?
Dead by Daylight or whatever it is, the one where they just put
Four Squad.
They have all kinds of crossovers. They should just do something there.
That'd little cool. Bo Peep and Woody and Buzz.
They're probably not going to get too crazy, just because they're going to have some standards about that. It's like the Batman thing that went on yesterday. I don't know if anyone caught that weirdness. But
I did. I found that quite interesting.
Did you hear that clip I played on TMS today by chance? The DC Animation Studios put this out yesterday, and it pretty much sealed the deal for me as being one of the great memes of all time.
Right.
This is what they said. Listen to this. This is from Under the Red Hood, which is a Batman anime thing, two-hour movie. And DC Animated Studios, without any comment, put this up on their Twitter feed and just played this. All right, so enjoy.
But if I do that, if I allow myself to go down into that place, I'll never come back.
This is freaking, what's his name? It's the Batman guy who does the voice all the time. I can't think of his name. Kevin Conroy.
Right. Now, is that in response to...
No, it's in the original movie. It's in the movie. And so they found the line.
Is that cherry-picked quote a response to Batman?
Oh, yeah.
In the controversy of going down?
100%.
Okay. 100%. All right. Yeah. Just checking.
They're participating in the fun is what's happening. And
they really
are. I really respect that. I like that a lot. So
that is a lot of fun.
Well done.
That is killing me.
Well done, DC Warner Brothers.
But okay. I'm really excited about Disney opening up to indie developers. Yeah. I think this is a perfect time for this to happen too. There's, in addition to all other things that were happening this weekend, you might have caught the second half of the Guerrilla Collective, where they did the wholesome gaming, cozy gaming, kind of event.
Yeah.
And so cozy gaming has become a really a strong force here in the States, especially. So, Disney is proper for
they like should do it. Cozy, they should get wholesome. Into that wholesome gaming stuff. How about Mickey, Goofy, and a few, and Daffy, or not Daffy, Donald, Donald Duck. How about they have them go over to Smash Brothers? That's a perfect place.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, fight next to Mario and stuff. Like, get in there. What are you doing? Get in there.
Absolutely.
Oh, was that Bruce Greenwood, not Conroy? Damn it. He's the second best Batman. You guys are right. Yeah. The chat's right. I forgot. Bruce Greenwood sometimes dons the voice, and he's the second best Batman working. He's very good. He's also he's Commander Pike in the rebooted Star Trek universe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
He's a great actor. He's very good. He's also in Gerald's Game and dies in Gerald's Game because he's Gerald. Okay, moving on.
Right.
The Guerrilla Collective.
Does he go down with Batman?
No, not in that way. No, sir. But he might go down into the Joker's lair, which is sometimes a euphemism for something else. All right. Collective, or the Guerrilla Collective, we're going to do a little part two here of some of the other games that were announced this weekend. For example, Origami 2. This is that third-person stealth game. I played the first one. You're like a ninja assassin guy. And it's very good. Lots of shadow powers. And
this new one looks even sneakier, and it looks visually, it just is a step up, if you ask me. And it's got some neat looking ninja poof powers.
Yep. Lots of poof.
A lot of poof. Like, you're here, then you poof over there.
If that first game had any problems, it was that it was it felt like an indie in a way that isn't necessarily great. Like, it.
Right. It didn't have a polish to it. This one looks very polished.
This looks, it looks like they've done a lot of work here. So it looks very nice. Armed with the, Fire Girl. She's armed with a trusty axe and a high pressure fire hose that also acts like a jetpack. She responds to emergency calls around the city. That sounds rad.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I like the art style on this too. It's kind of a, is this the one that was the pixel graphics, or is this,
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
Wouldn't be surprised. Indie games, they run the gamut, Brian. They're all sorts of things.
Gamut.
Yeah. Dwight Schrute in the chat. That's sodomy. No, we're not talking about that. What else? Batora Lost Havens, another one. Little hack and slashy twin stick shooter business. You got Grime, which is described as Destiny, Absorb, and Grow. Or Destroy, Absorb, and
Destroy,
Grow.
Destroy, Destiny.
I don't know why I said Destiny. Destroy, why would I say that?
Destroy, Absorb, Grow. Grime is a fast-paced and unforgiving action-adventure RPG. The graphics of this look really weird because it does feel really grimy, and there's parts of this just feel really gross. You can't even tell what the characters are absorbing in the trailer is. It does look grimy.
Now here's a weird one. BPM / bullets per minute is already out.
Yeah, it came out in 2020, but I think it was kind of like, you know how 2020 was. Remember 2020?
Yeah, it was a weird year.
Yeah, so it's kind of like we're going to have our grand opening in 2021 because 2020 sucked.
That seems like the right thing to do. The game's cool because it's like rhythm, action, FPS, roguelike thing. And it's
neat. And you may ask yourself, how do you have a rhythm action FPS roguelike game? You jump, you move, you reload your gun, you shoot your gun all in time to a beat that is this set out. You don't have to it's not like a Guitar Hero where you have to hit beats or anything. You're literally put into what we talk about in Hero Lodge, which is a flow. Your movement is based on the flow of the music.
Yeah, like Kiss My Grits flow, like that.
Kiss My Grits flow.
It's very cool. By the way, I always wonder, every time somebody says, 2020 sucked, there's some executive at like a mask-making company that's like, whatever, man, best year of my life.
Dude. We killed it.
We did so good. Archvale, take up your weapon in this RPG bullet hell world and embark on a journey to right wrongs from long ago.
It almost looks like when you first look at it, it's like, oh, here's a little Zelda RPG game. Like, oh, no, wait, that's a bullet hell game. Mm-hmm. And I like the way it looks. It's cute.
Yeah, we'll try that. A game called No Longer Home is a game about letting go of the life you've built due to circumstances beyond your control, which sounds a little 2020 to me.
It sounds very 2020.
Hunt the Night, plunge into a retro-style action-adventure game that combines a fast skill gameplay with dark fantasy and lore.
One looked really good. I don't know if you can get this pulled up somewhere, but this is one of the ones that really kind of excited me visually.
Yeah.
It is a retro-style action-adventure game that, like you said, it just looks really good. It reminds me of stuff like Blasphemous and Sloramancer and those kind of
Look at that. Dark, that does look cool.
Yeah, darker kind of mood games.
Ooh, nice animation too.
Oh, I love the boss fights look incredible.
They look real nice.
They look really epic.
All right, that one looks good. No demo yet, but definitely planned. Does it have a demo? No, let's see.
Not yet. It's still to be determined on the release date, probably later this year or next year.
Would recommend putting that one on your wish list and watching for that one. Black Book, dark RPG adventure based on the Slavic myths, some of those.
Myth.
In which you play as a young sorceress. We also have Demon's Mirror, roguelike deck builder combined with strategic match 3 battler. I'm in. I'm all in. Just tell me what that is. I'll play. Slime Heroes, joining your fellow slimes to save the gods from a deadly corruption taking over the land. Demon Turf, a 3D platformer with attitude. You get to join a guy named Beebs. Oh, it's a girl. In her ambitious goal of taking over Demon Turfs and becoming the Demon Queen herself. Beebs.
Yeah.
Is it Justin Bieber? It's not Justin Bieber, I hope.
Exactly what it is.
Damn it. Alretta of Spirits is a story-driven action-adventure game following Alretta and her journey to unveil mysteries of the spirit realm. And I like this one. Unmetal, 2D stealth action-adventure that pays homage to the classics with a healthy dose of humor and satire.
And now this is Unmetal. It is available as a demo on Steam. Add it to your wish list.
The demo?
Yeah, there's a demo. It's a 2D stealth action.
That sounds awesome. Hold on, I'm looking that up here. Unmetal.
You get to play as Jesse Fox, who is definitely not an elite commando, under arrest for a crime he didn't commit and must escape a covert military base using his wits and fist.
Oh, this is old school as hell, this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in. A little bit of, looks like it's inspired a little bit like Metal Gear, the old Metal Gears, exactly. The old ones.
That's the whole idea. It is definitely
Unmetal.
A satire of that, of Metal Gear.
Unmetal Gear. Metal Gear. All right. World Stride, Battle Tinker, and Manage Your Way into Victory with a stylish RPG about three friends. Severed Steel. It's stylish and visceral. It's funny the word stylish getting used twice in a row. Stylish and visceral single-player FPS featuring a fluid stunt system, destructible voxel environments, loads of bullet time, and a unique one-armed protagonist and a dark electronic soundtrack. Yeah, that looks good. Wait, is this the one I'm thinking of then? Hold on. This might be the one. No.
This might be the one. This was featured on a couple of the indie up there. That's not
the one I thought it was, though.
Exposure list.
It seems cool, though.
Yeah.
People are into these fast-paced, doomy shooters now. Have you noticed that?
It's made a comeback.
Yeah. I've been playing a Quake-like. I forgot the name of it, but they added RTX ray tracing to it.
Oh.
Looks insane. Right. Looks insane.
Looks insane.
I don't remember the name of it, or I'd tell you. And then finally, Death Trash, which I have the demo of already. I've yet to pop it open. I meant to before today's show and didn't, but features a post-apocalyptic world where cosmic horrors long for humanity, but meet punks with shotguns. There's some dark stuff in that. That thing's a trip. Mm-hmm. And again, I've only seen video, but pretty excited to crack that one open. So we'll see how that goes. All right. There's your list. So much more. Go check them on Steam. Under the Guerrilla Collective banner, which is posted right up front on Steam right now. It is worth your time.
Or just do a...
Do a what? What are you going to do? Do what?
We can also do a Summer of Gaming 2021 on YouTube. There's plenty of trailers out there that
are
just indie games. It's just so many.
More than you could throw a stick at, as they say.
Is that what they say?
No.
I didn't think so.
No one says any of that. All right, let's get to the games we played this week. I'm going to tell you about a game that I quite enjoy that has been out for a tiny bit now. But I wanted to give it some time because I had a weird bug with it. And I thought, man, I really want to talk about this game, but you got to fix this freaking bug. And the bug was no controller would work with it. And it needs to be a controller game. Like, you can use a mouse and keyboard, but even the game's one of those that says controller, highly recommended. And it didn't matter what I used, off-brand, Xbox One, PS4, all these controllers, no good. Just didn't work. Mm. And I kept putting stuff in the discussion threads, and other people were having this problem, but the developers are like, oh, man, we can't duplicate this. We don't know what's going on with you guys. And it just felt odd, and I don't have any other game to ever do this to me. A controller always just freaking works, no issues. Finally, they fixed that. Don't know how, just showed up in an update, and it worked. They didn't even call it out. It just fixed it. So my guess is some library was missing or got screwed up, and in the latest build, it was just in there, and you know, no one's the wiser. It is A Medieval Tundrago, so that is the game I played, the Quake-like. Thank you for the name. A Medieval is the one with the RTX support in it. It's very cool.
Oh, okay. A-M-I-D, Evil.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Rising Hell. Rising is important, and Hell is important. You're a dude in Hell, and you got to get out, man. This is a vertical platformer roguelite filled with adrenaline pumping action, they say. This is a direct quote from the description. And tons of heavy gothic metal shreds.
Metal shred.
Yep, metal shreds. Come out from the ever-changing hell as you fight hordes of bloodthirsty demons. That describes it pretty well, but what makes it interesting, or the reason I'm really enjoying it, is it's this cool retro look. Definitely the kind of pixelated game that would only work today, though, because there's no way this would run on any old hardware back in the day. But you work your way up from this hellscape at the very bottom, and you work up. So Kid Icarus style, like the old Kid Icarus games. Remember that? Or was it Kid Icarus? Right. Or was it...
I get it now. Rising Hell, because it's rising up. It's a vertical. I get it.
Yeah, you're ascending. You're ascending the entire time. So it's all about ascension. And when you get to a certain level, you might fight a little mini boss. And then after that, you get to choose a rune or a special card or a thing that gives you more power. Like you might get electrical zaps every time you stab something. And by stab, I should mention this is a melee game, although there's plenty of things in it that kind of act like distance weapons, but you unlock those as you play. And it's just animated really well. The heavy metal in it is awesome. It's just thrasher freaking, I don't know, it feels like me in junior high again. It's just, it's awesome, the kind of jams they have in this thing. And I don't know who they did their music with, but you can actually see in the video here, he's got the electrical thing now, and it's just so rad.
Yeah.
The whole time you're doing it, you're collecting like this hell soul stuff, and you use that to spend on perks the higher you get. So there's a perk level, he's about to get to it.
This guy is like Nightcrawler flashing.
Kind of, he's got that too. Yeah, I should mention that there's a built-in ability, at least with the default character. I haven't unlocked anybody else yet because I was waiting for the controller support, but I'll do that now that it's open. But it's basically kind of a dash, but it makes you invisible for a second, so that's pretty cool.
Right, right.
If something's too tall to get to, you use walls to kind of Mario wall bounce. Then you end up on an elevator thing. They tell you what your score for that level was. You get a bunch of points. It takes you to the next level. And then you're off to doing more stuff. It gets harder as you go. One thing I like about this game is how cheap it is. It's $9.99, freaking $10. And that's not a sale price. That's just the price. And it feels like a game that you would normally see for around $15. So I'm surprised it's as cheap as it is. It will definitely give you vibes of things like Dead Cells, not in the way it plays, but just the feeling of the progression is very Dead Cells slash, you know, a little Hades, I guess, to speak of other popular, you know, versions of this or whatever. There's lots of portals to weird areas where they're a little harder, but if you beat them, you get extra shit. I'm going to play some sound. Want to hear the sound? Check this out.
I want to hear some sound.
Here you go. This is some Rising Hell sounds. This is actually the very beginning. This part's not very metal, but it's like a little bit of intro story. And then scene here.
Rising Hell.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Yeah. You hear that?
I'm in.
So that's me just listening to the metal, ripping it through the hell. Killing dudes. Oh, it's so much death, so much mayhem. And then some dude's on a guitar just...
Dude, I feel like I am at the arcade, maybe 90s, mid-90s, just rocking out.
Yeah. And the word I'd use is Tonga Dragosa's in the chat. He just said crunchy. I agree. Totally crunchy.
Yeah. Totally crunchy, yep. Baby. And got those little speakers full blast at the arcade. They're just blasting out some sound.
Also, a little bit of Rygar, maybe. Remember Rygar, the game?
Yeah.
Rygar. Yeah. Some of that in here. But it's a real simple, straightforward thing. I think, you know, if I'm going to say anything gnarly about it or rude, because those are a lot of positives I just gave you, right? Those are a lot of positives. It would be that, not rude, but if I was going to say anything negative about it, it would be that I think it might be a little too easy.
Right.
I kind of breezed through what I've played so far. And again, I was waiting for that controller support. So I'm not super far, but I'm far enough to know that I'm not really feeling super duper challenged yet.
Right. Now, did you like, are these, you said it's a rogue. So is it like runs? Like you're trying to make it to a certain, as high as you can each time?
Yeah. You can die and you got to start over. But when you do, you get more stuff, but the enemies might be harder. You know, it's your typical rogue legacy sort of structure.
It doesn't increase difficulty as you get higher in the tower.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does. But you're right. Kind of, I don't know. Maybe I'm just good at this vertical platform business. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know what's going on. But this one's a really hard one. You see this one with the fire?
Maybe I'm just too good.
Where this fire's building up slowly and he's got to get up and beat the lava to the top. That was hard. Right. I did not enjoy it. I shouldn't say I didn't enjoy it, but it got difficult. Stuff starts to go awry.
Well, I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, you think, oh, it'd be easy to develop a tower type game because, you know, it's just all straight up. But I mean, you got to increase the difficulty as you go along and you got to train your players as you're going up and smoothly transition them from something a little easier, a little bit harder until it gets really difficult. But that's hard balance.
Yeah. And the other thing too is if you, I don't know what I was going to say. Something cool.
I don't see. Life greed. That's what you wanted. Some life greed. Suck up some life from the bad guys.
That's
is that
right.
What it does?
Get you some life greed. That'll whenever you kill anything, you get a few points of life back if you're hurting. So
what's your end goal here? I mean, what? Okay, let's say you get to the top. Then what?
I don't know. I have not gotten that far, but I assume there's an end at some point where you have escaped. There are bosses, so you got to fight a lot of shit. There are eyeballs everywhere.
Do you pop out on the street of New York out of a manhole cover or something?
No, none of that. Well, I don't know. No, maybe. Okay. I guess I shouldn't say because I don't know. I don't know if there's truly an end game. Like Hades had an actual ending where most roguelikes sort of just never end.
Right.
This may have chosen to do that, but I'm not far enough to say. I like it a lot. I'm going to give it a score of 7.5 hellhounds out of 10.
Oh,
here's nice. A boss fight, by the way. See, this little boss business going on. I also appreciate that there's a giant percentage number over the boss's heads to tell you exactly how dead they are.
That actually does help. Yeah. I mean,
I'm a big numbers guy. I like numbers floating overheads.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I kind of sometimes like it when I don't really know. It's like, am I killing this guy or not?
Yeah, it's a fair view.
That's very Zelda like. You know, it's like when you get those boss fights, it's like, am I killing them or not?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I get you. I kind of like the damage ones too, because when you're punching stuff, it's, you know, a little 20, 30, 50, whatever popping over their heads. Kind of Diablo style. I'm sort of a fan of that. But anyway, I think they've done a good job. It's a real small team. Tahoe Games in particular. This is published by Toge Productions and Neon Doctrine. I don't know who they are.
Toge. By the way, they sent me a game code for this.
Oh, they did. You should play this then.
It's been on my list. I just haven't got around to it yet.
To me, it was just a no-brainer for $10. I was like, I'm getting this.
Oh, yeah. I saw it. I was like, ooh, I want to play that. And I think I was the same place you were. I think I started to do some controller stuff, and I said, okay, I'll wait.
Oh, did you have a problem? So, oh, that's crazy.
I can't remember. I started playing it, and I was having some kind of problem, and I remember I said, ooh, I'll wait. There's supposed to be an update coming soon, so I'll just wait, and then I never came back to it.
By the way, what you're seeing right now is, as far as I am, is fighting this eyeball boss, and it killed me the first time. And then
eyeball boss.
Then we had to do the show. I also still kept playing a ton of that game last week. The
The shit. What's the fun game? Hold on a second. We got show notes right here.
Tainted Grail.
Tainted.
Yeah, tainted Grail. Taint, Grail. I played a ton more of that. Unlocked the Summoner. Holy shit, the Summoner's fun. Oh man, that game's good. Anyway, go check it out. It's called Rising Hell. It's worth your $10, and they seem like nice devs who are, you know, going to keep working
responsive
on their game.
Responsive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they seemed really nice. Even though the controller problems were kind of weird and frustrating and took forever, it's not like they were just sitting there. They were like trying really hard to figure out what the hell's wrong with everybody's controllers. And there were plenty of people who were like, no problem here. And I'm like, well, there's like 12 of us in here with a problem. There's 20 of you who say it isn't a problem. So that's almost, you know, that's a pretty bad percentage. So somebody fix
that. That's a bad percentage. Yeah. Agreed.
All right. So there's that. Hey, Brian, why don't you tell me about Until We Die?
Oh, I'm going to tell you about Until We Die. Developer PixEye Games, developer and publisher, released this on June the 3rd. That was just, what, last week or so? Yeah,
something like
that. It was recent. It was about week before last. Anyway, they sent me a game code for this. Until We Die is a side-scrolling strategy game about defending all your bases belong to us, where you have to run around as Ivan, assign tasks to people, and fight mutants in the post-apocalyptic subway. Metro. Did you ever play Metro 2033?
No, but is that where this is set? Is this a Russian?
You know the Metro game series.
Metro, what's the one before the last one? I played that.
Right. Okay. So the setting is kind of Metro. This is a Russian developer, and they're really big into this, you know, these fighting things in a, you know, dystopian future in a Metro area where you just got to kind of hide out and survive. And that's exactly what this game is, a survival strategy game. And it's set kind of, like I said, like in Metro, obviously a big influence, but it's kind of got some old school look to it. Like Metal Slug 3. Do you remember Metal Slug 3 from 2000? Around there?
Yeah, I was just talking about their tactics game. I'm so excited about that. Oh, man.
Yes, it looks so good. All right, what about the gameplay? Did you ever play Kingdom 2 Crowns? I talked about it here, I believe, last year on the show, Kingdom 2 Crowns. It is a base builder's somewhat survival. I mean, only way that you're really base building is you collect junk parts as you go along with your characters. And if you have enough of the junk parts, usually in the form of whatever representation, like a gear, and you'll go up to an area that has been destroyed and you assign someone to the task, Pikmin style, and they start taking care of the issue. So they rebuild things. So they're rebuilding the camps. You're expanding your camp from where you start. And so Scott says he broke it.
We're gone.
But it's okay.
Hold on. Okay, we're back, and we're trying this again. Sorry, everybody, that was dumb. We think Twitch maybe had gas. It has a fart problem. Brian, what were you saying? You were saying
I was talking about Until We Die.
Oh yeah. We got all that.
Yeah. We're with that Metro 2033 setting. Like I said, I think the last thing I talked about was, did you play Kingdom 2 Crowns? And I think you said, huh? And I said, yeah, I played it last year.
And then, right. Okay. That is where we were. And Kingdom of Two Crowns, if I remember right, is like a side scroll, almost like tower defense or something, or I don't know how to explain that.
Right. It's a strategy game. It's a resource collecting strategy game. And it is somewhat tower defense in the way that there will be raids at set intervals. So it's not like you go in, you do all your planning, and then you press play like in a lot of tower defenses. This is actually a day-night cycle that is going on. And you're right, it is side-scrolling. So you got to defend the left side and the right side of your base. You start in the middle, and you kind of work your way out, setting up barriers and expanding those barriers as you gather new resources. With these guys, you play as Ivan. There's also another character they added, but they don't really talk about this other character very much. But I think everybody that I've seen play has played Ivan because it's just the first choice you have. It's just like, click, I'm playing as Ivan. Let's go. So
he's probably, the different leaders have different benefits to picking them or whatever.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think there's Anna as well, but she's got a good appetite, and she does restore stamina when she picks up food. But Ivan, he's just an old dude. I think he's like supposed to be like a 40 or 50 year old kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's I guess he's trying to lead these young people to save themselves from this.
So he's got probably some like he probably got leadership skills that benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, it's even simpler than that. You're the only guy that's actually doing anything. So like a Pikmin game, you're taking your little NPC characters with you, yep. And you tell them to, you know, work on this, work on that. Mm-hmm. And the AI is not very smart. And that's actually by design,
yeah.
Meaning that they're not very initiated. So you're constantly having to run back by after you've told them to perform an action and get them to get back in line.
Okay.
Which is kind of fun for like a leadership kind of thing.
Yeah.
You have three classes that you can assign characters. So as you go along, you start off with three or four characters that kind of follow you, and you assign them classes by opening up training areas in your camp, and then you can like quickly train just by having the character go over to it. You can quickly train them as like a digger or an engineer. I think just the base character you get, it's like a vagrant or something. It's like just some found people.
Just
like
people in the tunnel. Sure.
Yeah. People in the tunnel have no skills whatsoever. Yeah. Those are actually important. You actually have to detrain some of the people because there's certain things that only they can do. Like you can light up like barrels of, yeah. and light them up with fire.
Yeah.
And you have to have that low level character to initiate that. So not every character class is going to be able to complete the task that you assign them in a certain area. And I found that really helped me a lot with those burning barrels.
Yeah.
That was one of the upgrade paths you could choose. You could choose a different upgrade path, but I chose that one because what happens is when the aliens start coming in to attack your bases,
yeah,
all your bases,
or belong to
they
us.
Catch on fire.
Oh, okay.
Right. They belong to you, right? All your bases, they belong to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. They so you want to do that.
They are belong to us, right? They are belong yeah, to they, us? Okay.
They are belong to us.
Great.
And, okay, so this is a Russian developer, and, we can give people hard times for, not amazing English. These guys have some pretty darn good English going on, though.
Oh, that's good.
But, yeah, okay. So there's – I really like this game so far. It's I've played in – I want to say I've had, like, three or four – 1-2 hour runs, because as you play these games, it becomes harder and harder. Each day passes by and you're trying to make it to the maximum amount of days, which you'll be rescued at 30 days, according to the story. I only made it to about 14 days.
Yeah,
I think that was the maximum. It takes me about an hour and a half to run 14 days. So I'm assuming that to get to the 30 days, I guess it's probably like 3 hours or so.
Sure.
Yeah. So
seems good.
You're costly. What's that?
Seems good. I just like I'll tell you what sells me on this. What concerns me and what sells me. Okay.
Right.
What
right.
sells me is the art style. I love it. I love it. I love it. I think this looks great. But this is the style. I love this style of 2D and like really well animated sprites and all that stuff. Totally love that. What I don't think I like, and I'd have to play it to be sure, is it sounds like fort defense wave based, hurry up and build more shit before the next wave. I not a fan of that normally. Now, I may change my mind here. I don't know. Maybe this would change.
Yeah. And so there's actually a good bit of strategy here. It's not just as simple as you might think. You just saw my characters run by a research area.
Yeah.
So the game keeps you busy, constantly running back and forth to each end of the screen, and it gets even more and more thinned and stretched as you try to reach further out. Mm. Because what you don't want to happen is always the end game is going to be if the bad guys make it to your generator, then that's just end game, man. Then you die.
Yeah.
So you can't let that happen. So you keep expanding, because the more barricade you have, the greater chance of when a raid comes in, you can defeat them.
Sure.
And so there's actually, you don't end up thinking too much about the part that I think that you hate. Yeah. I think you're just like constantly going like, oh, I got to get back to the other side and make sure that guy's doing the thing.
Yeah. If it's, so, I mean, if it's more like that, like the more you've described it, the better I feel about it. Like, it seems like it might be my jam.
Yeah. And I love the fact at first I was a little annoyed. I'm like, oh dude, just do the things that I tell you to do. And then I was like, you know what? This would be very boring if they always went and did the right thing, because it's really easy for these guys to die. Like, when the enemy comes in, they're only sort of kind of smart. They'll start getting hit and then they'll start kind of falling back. But if the force coming in is too large, it's just too late. They're dead.
Sure.
They're not smart enough to do that. So you have to run and get them. Oh, by the way, it's not showing it. So I'm going to give this game.
Yeah. What's
until we die.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that thing 7 baby alien eggs out of 10 running hides. And it's pretty close to an 8. And the only reason why it's not an 8, and I'll give you the biggest reason right now, there is no save game state. So wherever you stop playing, you're done. So like if you're in the middle of a run, and you're like, day 14 and you played for an hour and a half, if you leave, it's gone,
that
baby.
That seems nuts to me. Not to have
it
that.
It is nuts. Now, what they did, so the developers said, and they've been pretty active in the community, so they just had an update not too long ago.
Yeah.
The current state, we finished save system and preparing to test it before the next update. So they had a save game state right before launch, and something was hinky about it, so they just pulled that part while they worked on it. But it was kind of too late to pull the launch at that point.
Okay, so they're working on it. They're going to put it in. They're going to take care of that, sounds like.
Right. They are working on it now, actively taking care of it. So if you're a little nervous about that, my one, wait just a little bit. The game is $16.99 on Steam. I had $17 worth of fun. That is for sure. Even though I got this for free.
Oh yeah, you got a code. I tried to get a code. Right. I got turned down. I don't know why. Freaking Russians.
I would gladly. Well, they needed my information.
We are not.
I always get worried.
We are not going to give you free code. Forget it. You're a piece of shit. They said.
I'm such an American. I mean, you got to realize I grew up during the Cold War. I was born right into that stinking Cold War. Yeah. And so whenever I see something is like, oh, developed by Russian developers, I'm like, oh, I wonder how they're going to destroy my computer. And I'm like, come on, Brian.
Yeah.
Get over it, man.
Yeah. There's a whole generation of kids who are now they're now, regardless of how accurate it is, it's not why I'm saying this, but there's a lot of people now that are getting that same thing out of Chinese developers, stuff.
True story. What are you stealing?
Thing. Yeah. What do they tell? Oh, they're hacking your deal. They're getting your info. It's like, they're going to have that same kind of Cold War mentality about it. And it's unfortunate because a lot of times it's just like, hey, bunch of gamers making games. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You never played some of the great audio from this game. So this game has some great Russian kind of audio.
I'm going to do it right now. You ready? Here it comes.
Still play a little bit.
This is it right here. Everyone likes that. Russia.
I think that's the trailer. Can you play the second audio clip?
Oh, yeah, I can do that. Hold on.
Yeah. You did hear the gun. I am the only person in this game that has a gun.
Yeah.
I have to come to the rescue. I'm shooting somebody right now.
Yeah, you're the alien. Shooter guy. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I'm Ivan the shooter guy.
I dig that. Very orchestrated. Yeah. Huh. Oh, why is this playing? That's you over there. Very orchestrated, very grunty and crunchy. That's good.
That's the good thing about it. Whenever you walk up to you got a shout range. So you can you have to get near the characters you're trying to get to follow you.
Yeah.
And they'll group together based on their class. And then you can like switch those classes so that those classes move the closest to you. Yeah. And then you can assign them to a task. Like the engineer can only, he's the only one that can like refortify the front lines.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And there's lots of perks along the way. I didn't get to talk about a lot of these things, but there's a lot to this game. Yeah. There's actually a lot. This looks like a very simple game, and it is pretty simple, but it's got a lot of strategy, well-balanced strategy, in my opinion.
There's some meat in there. Go eat the meat.
There's some meat in there until we die.
Yeah, that's the game, Until We Die. Again, our two games today, Until We Die and Rising Hell, okay? Don't tell me that we didn't repeat it 50 times, because we did.
Okay.
Because we did, okay? We did. All right, now this. Wait, this. Let's get to the game that we play called Guess My Game. And it's where we play a little audio from a game. We try to guess what each other's game is. Mine is, here's your hint, is from 1994. And it is an Electronic Arts title.
All right. Okay. 94, you 94. Say.
94. I think you might be surprised by the audio in this, but let's see what you think. Here you go. Whoops. There you go.
Yeah, I was thinking racing game at first, but then I start hearing the punches. I'm gonna have to go with like a Road Rash.
Look at you! You are absolutely correct. Rash? But what? Yes. Guess what machine that was from? Because the fidelity you just heard was way higher than you would have gotten on the more common consoles. Do you have a guess?
I was about to say, because that was pretty rich for you said 94, right?
Yeah, and let's just say the in between stuff menus had music from venerable bands such as Soundgarden and
Winter's Race Car Driver.
Can't think of his name.
Yeah, Primus. That would be Les Claypool. Yeah.
So do you know what that
console it was on? Yeah. Or which?
And they went all in at first. EA was super big on this console, probably because the founder of EA was the one behind it. But
Right.
So you could do the version of FIFA that was on there was real great because it had amazing crowd noise and all that.
Right. Oh, gee, I don't know, man. Is that, it's 94. That would be Genesis time, right?
Chat room knows. Yep. Would definitely have been Genesis, SNES era.
I don't remember any of those being strong enough to do any of that stuff.
That would have been.
What am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody. Who is.
Do you give up?
I don't know. I give up.
3DO.
Ah, the 3DO. Of course, the 3DO.
And if you thought that game looked good, it doesn't. It looks like shite. It looks bad.
But it sounded so good.
Yeah, but that was that Trip Hawkins era, man. He was making that 3DO, and he was going to shove that thing down the industry's throat, whether they wanted it or not. And turns out they didn't.
I forgot all about the 3DO for a minute there. Jeez, man.
I had a 3DO. I had three games on it. I had Road Rash.
You had
a 3DO? Yeah, oh yeah. I had Road Rash. No, I had four games. Road Rash, Gex, the one with the little tiny helicopters and tanks with the Valkyrie music, and I can't remember the name of the game.
Right.
That was probably the best game they ever made. And then, what was my fourth game?
Crap.
Oh, I had FIFA. I had FIFA, whatever.
When this thing launched, it was $700.
Yeah, it was. I think I paid $4.99.
In 1994 money.
Yeah, I think I paid $4.99 for it.
Right.
That. Yeah. It was, it was a bold attempt to disrupt stuff, but that would soon come.
Man, Panasonic wanted to do everything, didn't they? Because didn't they make a GameCube 2 or something? What they've kind of dabbled in all.
They did. They were making a. How did that? Well, okay, hold on. Panasonic and Samsung were the two involved in 3DO hardware.
Right.
Dang it, I don't remember. It was a weird thing.
And yeah, Panasonic every once in a while would show up and it's like, here's our version of the console. I'm like, hey, how'd you do that?
Yeah, that was really odd. They also had what else was 94? I think the Atari Lynx Atari Jaguar was out then, right?
Jaguar. I think that should have been that was probably about the Jaguar time, I think.
Yeah, or about the time it got that toilet add-on CD-ROM thing. Which looked like a toilet. It's so dumb. What a dumb time. It's an odd time, and PlayStation was still many years out, 6 years out before we'd see that.
Yeah.
Well, not that far out, because the next year in Japan it released, but we wouldn't get it in the States till 96. Oh, I used to have all this memorized, like time wise, but I can't remember shit.
Oh yeah, me too. Me too.
Just before PlayStation. Weird time.
We've gotten so inundated with all kinds of new stuff. It's hard to keep up with all this now.
Yep. It's a very odd time to be alive, but I love all of it. All right. Let's move on to your game. I'm going to play it.
Game.
So let's see. We got a hint here that says to me, initial release date, December of 84. So 10 years prior to mine.
Yes.
All right. Let's see what it is. Oh, I know this. I know this. My memory.
Yeah, I know. I played so much of this, man.
The Konami Kung Fu game where you're a little dude down at the bottom.
Yeah, it was on the Nintendo NES.
That was the game, Kung Fu?
I played it.
Was that it?
It was almost. You got part of it.
Kung Fu Hui. I don't know. I have no idea.
Kung Fu Master.
Oh, Master. Gosh dang it.
But we all called it Kung Fu. It's fine. You could call it Kung Fu. You got it.
But it had you the knew thing what it that was unique about it, or that I remember about it, was you were a little tiny guy at the very bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
And everything was happening up top somehow. It was weird. That was a weird effing game. What a weird game, dude.
I love that kick sound, though.
I mean, this was so close to when, you know, we were about to hit real fighting games. They were just around the corner. And some of that early stuff like Karateka and this, they were trying so hard, but they were just bad. It was bad.
I just loved it, though.
Oh, of course you did, because it's what we had. Yeah. And we just played the
shit. It's what you had. It's what you had. You took it.
You took what you had to take and then took it and took it. All right. Well done. That was fun. I really enjoyed that. Now this. Hey, a couple emails here from listeners, and we love reading these, so thanks for sending these. Oh, by the way, Brian next week is doing Wildermyth. Tell me about briefly, what is Wildermyth?
I sent you a link. I think you need to look at that trailer. I think you're going to want to play this as soon as you see it. I don't think I can describe it as well as maybe you play in that trailer in the Discord server. Wildermyth. Can you see it, or I need to post it in the notes?
Where is it, Steam, or where is this?
I just did YouTube. I just did a YouTube trailer.
No, I mean, where's the game?
Oh, it's on Steam.
It
absolutely
is on Steam. Okay.
Yeah, you want to take a look at the Steam?
Early
yeah.
Access trailer. Let me just see here. I'm going to play this real quick. Hold on. Oh, this looks cool. Oh. This is that game where I hate the art, but I love the concept.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So my understanding is this is like turn-based, grid-based, tactic style RPG thing. And your people look like little paper cutouts, kind of.
Yes.
I hate the art on the characters. I hate it.
At first, I hated the art. Yeah. And then it started to grow on me because I played a couple of games that were kind of similar to it.
Yeah.
And so I've come around. June 15th just came out today.
So this is out.
And it is on sale for $20. It's usually going to be $25, and that ends on June the 22nd. So you get a couple of days before that goes up to full price. I feel like this is going to be well received. It's already getting overwhelmingly positive reviews.
All right.
Very positive
reviews. Well, we will see next week what Brian thinks of Wildermyth.
Wildermyth.
Here's your emails. This is one from Tweep. He actually sent this to you.
Yes.
It says, I was listening to Boop, and I like the show idea of good and bad tutorials. They could also blend into general video game introductions. A few examples are Skyrim, one of the worst video game introductions in video game history. I don't know about that. I don't know if I believe that. I think that might not be fair. I think that one's not the
worst. I think it's one of the most memorable and has become an absolute meme because it is so locked in. I mean, if you start over Skyrim a couple of times in short order, you're going to hate that intro.
Oh, you'll get sick of it. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. But I don't think they ever meant for people to just keep rolling characters. I think they just wanted you to pick something and go. You know?
Well, then they don't know me very well, do they?
Yeah, so there's that. Oh, good. You're finally awake. That's right. All right. He says another one. Not only does it take forever to do anything, there's no way to speed it up or skip it. Yeah, you're totally right. You got to wait in line. They get the executions, all that stuff. It takes forever. So the other big one, this is mainly for mobile games, is when they make you play through a long tutorial. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad before you're able to do anything.
Yes.
Especially like going into the options menu to either log in because you're now on a new device or to turn down the volume when there are no other options aside from you have to click on this one spot even when you want to look at something else. End of rant. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Tweep. Yeah, I don't like bad tutorials either. They certainly exist. Yeah. Plenty of games do it right though. And he's
right though, because so the Futurama games, any of the Fox games, like the Futurama and the Simpsons Tapped Out and those games like that.
Yeah.
Every time I load it up on a new device, I'd have to play through a stinking long butt tutorial before I could even log into my EA account to move on. And I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
That is a terrible thing to do. And I really do get annoyed with a game that I just want to play and they want you to, even on a match three. Okay, so I'm playing a lot of match three games lately just because I'm looking for something that can kind of...
I get you.
But too many of them do this where I'm like, it's like, you got to drag this here to make three. I'm like, I know how to do that, dude. It's like, stop highlighting everything for me and just let me get on with this stupid game to see if I like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel you.
But, yeah.
I totally understand. Yeah, there's plenty of good examples, though, of good tutorials, but I can't think of any right now. But I know there are good ones.
but you don't remember good ones.
Yeah,
you
because just remember they the get bad you through ones. It. The good ones just right. get you through it.
They just do it.
I'm playing a game right now called Something Bot Crap.
Something Bot Crap.
That may be next week's game. I'm trying to decide between a couple, but there's this game where it's kind of, I don't know what to compare it to. Maybe Risk of Rain 2.
Oh,
kind of,
okay.
but a little more combat focused and a little less, I don't know, explorer-y. I don't know how to describe it yet, but that game has an amazing tutorial as an example.
Good.
And I never felt bogged down by it or hindered by it or that it went too long or couldn't move through it if I wanted to. But if I really wanted to learn what I was supposed to do, it gave me that. Like, it was actually really, really strong.
Right.
Chat room wants us to, Luke wants us to talk about Knockout City before we sign off. I think Knockout City is awesome. It's great. It's on Game Pass still, so we don't have to pay for it over there.
Right.
Or is it
a fad, or does it have legs?
I think it has legs.
You know.
People are buying and playing that game. I think people like that game a lot. Trump poll says, would say Shipbreaker have a good tutorial? Yes, Shipbreaker has a great tutorial. But yeah, if you want to play, Luke, if you want to play it on Game Pass, it's just there. You just play it. It's great.
Yeah. Do it.
No $20 for you. I played the hell out of it during its first week, and I loved it. My kids still love it. They play it almost every night.
People right. And they, but they got a limit, don't they? It's like the first 20 levels are free or something.
It's lower than that. It's like 6 levels or something, or 10 levels maybe. There's a ton of it that's free. You're right. But if you play on Game Pass, I think it's just free. I got to look that up.
Always. Right. Every level.
I just can't remember if EA pulled that or not on Game Pass. I don't think they did. Okay.
Second email.
Here's this one. Check this out. This is from Tandy255.
Oh, hi, Tandy.
Pullman, Washington. He says, Dear Scott and Brian, a friend of mine, Chad, has developed... Nothing wrong with Chad. It's a fine name. Chad's great.
Love
has developed
Chads.
A modern asteroids game on Steam. He does not work professionally in the games industry, and it has just been a passion project for him for many years. The game is called Solaroids. Oh, I get those. I got to get the cream for the Solaroids.
It's the worst.
Oh, they burn. It includes multiple control modes and options for Asteroids and Asteroids Deluxe vector palettes. If you could, give Solaroids a shout-out on the Boop Show. He also provided codes for me and Brian, which is super nice. Thank you for that. I'm going to definitely give this a look. I haven't had time. I know I've had this for a little while, Tandy255, but thank you for your patience, and thank you for the codes. That's really nice of you. Go look it up. It's on Steam. Solaroids, like Solaroids. S-O-L-A-R, like, roids.
Right, like roids.
Like roids, but with sola in front. he says, thanks again. Look forward to the Boop Show every week. Well, thank you very much, Tandy255. And we're definitely going to check that out. And I love supporting small developments, whether it's one dude or five. We love it. That's why the show exists. So if you're like them and you got a cool little game you want us to promote on the show, no problem. I like making fart noises on the microphone as well. So whenever I can do that.
Can't believe it.
I know. Shocking. That's going to do it. Emails can be sent to boopshow@gmail.com. boopshow@gmail.com. Our website is frogpants.com/BOOP. And if you want to give us follows on our Twitch channel, you can do that. Frogpants and Brian Dunaway. Those are the two names on Twitch. And you can find us at Boop Show on Twitter. And look, if you're listening to the show live right now, stick around to the end of the show, because right after this, we're going to give away codes for Superhot and Death Squared to two lucky random winners in our chat room. So don't leave yet.
Lucky.
Yeah, lucky ducky. I think that's it. Brian, you got anything you want to add to this pile of conversation that we've just had before we go?
Tune in next week when Scott says...
when I make a fart sound. It'll be great. I don't know what I want to say, except I'll say this. The Resident Evil live screams have been going very well. If you want to watch me beat play through Resident Evil 8/Village, you can do that. There's a lot of yelling and swearing, especially this last one. I was so pissed. You can find all of those over on the YouTube channel at Frogpants, or where the hell is it? It's at youtube.com/ScottJohnson. And if you missed them on Twitch, they're also in the Twitch VODs, so you can watch those there. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. I think that's it. For me, that stopped. That was weird. For me, for Brian, for all of you, stay safe, play video games, and we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Destroy them with lasers!